You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Tuesday morning, July 29th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north. Live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening or watching us on all the other different platforms out there. We appreciate you starting your Tuesday morning here. I got a question for you and for producer Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. Have you ever had a dry burrito? And I say that because I didn't know there was a difference between a wet burrito and a dry burrito till about 5 minutes ago. When I think of a burrito, don't you think of the thing that's on a plate smothered in enchilada sauce?
Yeah.
That's apparently a wet burrito, and a dry burrito.
No enchilada.
Is something that you can, no sauce. You can, you're supposed to, it's a handheld. You can walk and eat it. That, I mean, isn't that?
You know what? I understand this distinction. I think this is okay. I have nothing wrong with this. I think this is fine. I have no notes.
I know you're going, where does this come from? Well, we're working on some of the more popular stories on Up North News social media feeds in the past
week. This is very important. Yeah.
And it included one about best wet burrito. And I was like, what do they mean by wet burrito? I mean, every burrito is covered with sauce. But now I'm thinking, is it like is not Chipotle, like Qdoba? Aren't there some that make these big old beast of things that you're supposedly able to eat by hand, but nobody ever does because they're such monsters?
I don't know that to be a fact. However, I am well aware of American food portions, and I'm sure that's correct. Yes.
That does make sense now as well. Yeah, Alicia puts on YouTube, oh, I didn't know that was considered a dry burrito, but it makes sense. And she also says, good morning. It is cooler this morning where she is in Northeast Wisconsin, but it is humid. And yes, that is definitely the case after rain and thunderstorms went through. You had some down by you in Madison as well?
A little bit, yeah. Yesterday I got kind of lucky. I park outside. I stepped into my car as the first raindrop happened, and then it started to rain as I drove away. Today, a little less lucky, had to use the umbrella to get to the car.
Good thing you're not made of sugar, right?
I mean, yeah, I would melt.
We can survive a little bit of rain like this. The rain is working its way through the southeastern third of the state right now. A very strong line of storms, high winds, some damage reported to the west of the Chippewa Valley. And thankfully, it was starting to fizzle out about the time it came through Chippewa Falls. So for as big and angry a red blob as it looked on the radar, we only ended up with a quarter inch of rain here on Lake Wissota. Other places obviously got a lot more, but here's the thing from meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Her state forecast is really just kind of centered on a single word, relief. Relief from the heat, relief from the stormy weather, cooler, drier, more pleasant. With one exception, possibly the southern third of Wisconsin has one more shot at storms tonight, or the storms could just miss to the south. But here is her statewide forecast. Showers ending and more sun. The highs will be about 80 degrees up north, mid-80s south, with a northwest wind at 5 to 10 miles an hour. Then for tonight, the comfortable air really starts to move in. Partly cloudy and comfortable. Lows tonight in the upper 50s up north, mid-60s south, with a light northerly breeze. And again, just quiet weather going forward from there. Right now here on Lake Wissota, it is 69 degrees, but still a little humid out there. Parker, I got to get this off my chest now because I don't want to bring it up tomorrow when Melissa Kay is here and we're talking about her rescue pigeon.
Yeah.
The Chippewa Humane Association has a rescue hamster project, if you like.
Okay.
I saw this on their Facebook page last night. I'm not kidding. This is an actual post. It has been updated to say that Hammy is now en route to a new house. But here's the original post. Hammy Hamilton needs a home and we need a break. This is not your average sweet and cuddly hamster post. This is a desperate plea from the staff at Chippewa Humane. Someone, anyone, please, all caps, adopt Hammy Hamilton. Hammy has bitten three staff members that we know of, and we're convinced he's keeping tally. He doesn't just nip, he strategizes. He thrives on fear, and we think he likes it that way. Let's be very clear. Hammy is not a good pet for a child. He watches us. We pray before opening his cage. He may be small, but his rage is mighty. We're looking for a hamster-savvy adult who understands that not all hamsters want snuggles and sunflower seeds. Hammy wants space. Hammy wants freedom. Hammy wants revenge. But don't let that small, adorable face deceive you. That is the face of a predator, not a friend. If you've got the experience, the bravery, and the grit to give Hammy Hamilton the life he deserves, or the life he demands, please reach out. You might just be his perfect match, or his next victim.
You made that up. That's
not
real.
I did not make up a word of
that.
You made that up. And as I bring up the post this morning, it says, update, Mr. Hamilton has received quite a few applications. Thank you all for helping him get to his new home. I will say, mostly jokingly, I would dare say more than a couple of those applications are from people who have a python for a pet, because what you've described there is not a pet. What you've described is lunch for somebody else's pet. Now, I know that's going to upset some people, and there were many posts in the comment section about how, you know, not every animal is supposed to be sweet and cuddly, and sometimes the best pet is the one, not that you actually physically pet, but just has some space and is there, is, you know, a little buddy to talk to. But Parker is currently wiping tears from his eyes.
I'm crying, Pat. That was so funny. Oh, my God.
Because if nothing else, whoever posted this at the Chippewa Humane Facebook account needs to do this more.
Yeah.
We need more posts. And yes, you can write posts for the cuddly friendly ones, but we really want more posts for the not cuddly ones, for the potential predators in waiting. I mean, that's honesty. That's honest advertising right there. We got this hamster. It's a trained killer, but it could be your next buddy. You know,
this is not for kids
or musky bait, whatever the case. Either way, he's here.
This thing is dangerous as all hell. Please get it off our hands and into your home.
Literally, please, literally get it off our hands. I love that they say this is not a good pet for a child, to which, again, other people are like thinking of their, you know, spoiled brat little nephew or niece and going, oh, I have an idea. I'm just a cynical person that way. But I just thought this was, it's hilarious and so refreshing. Honestly, there were other people that put posts up thanking them for the honesty, because they talked about getting pets, usually dogs, where they felt like the shelter, not this one, but wherever they got their dog, was not completely on the up and up about what a problem this particular animal would be. Like, they were trying to push it out the door.
Yeah.
Here at Chippewa Humane, they're like, this thing is a problem. It's going to take somebody special to take on Hammy.
Oh, that
Hammy,
is...
Hammy Hamilton the hamster.
Oh, God. Hammy Hamilton, if you're listening right now, I would love to meet you. You sound like... you sound like a little terrorist, and I think that's fantastic in a hamster. I don't want a well-behaved hamster. I want a hamster that is... just got a little bit of bite in there.
Yeah, he's got a little bite to him. That's for sure. So there you go.
Wow, I mean, Pat, thank you. You just made my day.
Look, I needed that too. When somebody, you know, a different Facebook friend posted it, and they were like, "This can't be real, right?"
No.
And I looked at it. I was like, "Yeah."
I expected you to say that the second post was apologizing for the first post.
Oh, yes. I mean, it wouldn't have surprised me at all saying, oh, this was a rogue volunteer. Obviously, Hammy Hampton is all snuggles and, you know, well, he'd be great. And you're looking at this cute little face here. You know, I mean, two of the three pictures are of a cute little face. The third one, he looks like...
He looks like the killer rabbit from Monty Python.
The killer rabbit from Monty Python, or like a tiny furry version of Jaws right before it attacks the guys on the boat. So... This from Luke Mathers on the text line. I had hamsters growing up, and they only bite when they're scared. Hammy just sounds like he needs a good home. So there you go. Again, Luke Mathers, Eagle Scout, would not feed Hammy Hamilton the hamster to a python. Would love it. Give it a home.
Luke is a far better man than you or I.
Yes. And now you see why we talked about this now and not tomorrow with Melissa Kay, whom we love dearly. And we appreciate that she rescued Lilu the pigeon, formerly named Paint Bucket.
Yeah.
Even though the pigeon is, seems to me, exhibiting Hammy-like tendencies. It hasn't nipped at her, but it also just won't even come out of its little shelter box or whatever.
Well, this pigeon is at a point that I didn't know pigeons got to. It grunts.
Oh, yeah. The pigeon grunts at her.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the risk you always take in getting a pet that... You know, they're not all... We were really spoiled with our first dog, Casey. We had her for 14 years. She was the best lab. And we've always wanted another dog eventually. But as the years go on, we hear other people's horror stories about pets. We're like, I don't know. And even if it's not a horror story, just the things you forget about. Not just the cleaning up after the pet, shall we say. There's the thing with a dog where nothing wakes you up faster than hearing a dog going, you are out of bed so fast to get that dog outside. And of course, it never on a bare floor. Always right on the carpet.
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. You don't always know what you're getting.
No. You know what my dog did yesterday?
What is your dog?
I get home and my mom goes, so the dog, he woke up and he was like whining and crying for like a couple of minutes. I don't know what that was. And his paw was like, stuck out straight. We figure what happened is he slept wrong and his foot fell asleep.
And the dog doesn't know that.
Dog doesn't know.
Like my foot, it's falling off. My paw is gone.
Uh-huh. All right, dog.
That's what makes it so fun. You know, there's parallels to parenthood I really don't want to get into either. Like, you know. You think you're raising a kid one way, and then, suddenly it's, can I drop you off at the pet shelter? You know, regardless. Let's get to sports here before I get into any more trouble. The fans who may have tuned out after the first inning of last night's Brewers-Cubs game, let last night's game be a reminder of why you play all nine innings and you don't give up after one. Yes, Jacob Mizorowski had a memorably horrible first inning, giving up three runs, not with hits so much as a wild pitch and a wild throw to first. The Cubs fans in the crowd were going wild, and it was depressing to watch. Were you catching it as well?
I lucky for me, I saw the entire game, actually.
Lucky for you? Okay.
Yeah, I...
Yeah, so did I. After facing eight batters in the first inning, Mizorowski settled down. He set down the Cubs 1-2-3 in the second, the third, and the fourth innings. 10 batters in a row after that horrible start. 7 strikeouts total. The Brewer bats came alive with home runs by Andrew Vaughn, Sal Frelick, a 2-run shot by Christian Yelich, his 20th of the year, to put the cherry on top of a very satisfying comeback win over the Cubs, 8-4. Game 2 of that series is coming up tonight, and again, the pregame starts at 6:05 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Brewers Cubs, it's great stuff.
Win the series.
What's that?
Win the series. Come on.
Win the series. Come on, guys. More after this. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Every so often, you get derailed, like this program, by a tiny furball. And as a result of Hammy Hamilton, the hamster, the tiny terrorist, I have not even told you what to expect for the rest of this fine program that we're doing for the next 2 hours and 38 minutes for you here. Well, coming up in the next segment, once upon a time, it was rare for someone to run for higher office with no experience serving in some other capacity. I mean, think of chief executive officer. That's a heck of a place for on-the-job training if you have no other experience in management, whether it's a factory or, shall we say, running a state or running a country, right? Anyway, in a 2.5-minute TV interview segment, a candidate for Wisconsin governor showed his inexperience in talking about President Trump, reproductive health rights, tariffs. And was Bill Berrien really advocating for tariffs at the state level, too? We'll talk about that in less than 15 minutes. Next hour, we'll talk to Lincoln County dairy farmer Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart of the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. First, the fun stuff. There are a lot of fairs and festivals and farm shows coming up. But we will also take on some more serious issues of how some laws need to be changed to assist farmers who want to diversify their businesses to welcome more visitors and events. We'll visit in our Way Up North segment with Ashland Democratic State Representative Angela Stroud about how she sees the new state budget as part of a larger Republican war against public schools and what she sees as one of the biggest problems in government right now, a struggle to hold elected officials accountable for their actions. In our 8 o'clock hour, now that Governor Evers has made his retirement official, we'll talk to Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area and the way that Democratic dominoes are starting to line up with incumbents considering run for new seats, which opens up other seats for newcomers. We're going to get an update on Wausau headlines with Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXCO Radio. We've already started to talk about top stories on our social media site, including favorite wet burritos, all of that and more. And there's a pretty good chance you can't sit around here for the next 2.5 hours and catch all of that. So why do I tell it to you? Because there's a way for you to get it. Once upon a time, when I was a wee lad, and if somebody told you what was coming up on the radio and you couldn't be around, well, you were just out of luck. But now, through the miracles of modern technology, you can subscribe to this program as a podcast. Head over to Spotify or Apple or wherever, but head to one of those places, subscribe to us, and that way you can either take us along, you can listen to us at a different time of day if that's what works out better for you. You might never listen at all, except that one day you're going to hear something or miss something and you want to go back and catch it. And that's how you go about doing it, is in podcast form. Or at the very least, head over to civicmedia.us, where every hour of our show and everybody else's show is treated as a separate episode. You can click on that particular hour. You can see the show notes for the guests. For example, we had Laura Bird on at 8:30 yesterday morning, giving her latest book recommendations. These were all about, getting close to nature. These were Midwestern authors. And in the notes section of the show, we list the books and the authors. And we'd be very happy to have you as a subscriber along the way. On Facebook right now, where you can leave us comments on Facebook or YouTube, either for Civic Media or for Up North News. Roger notes under the heading of Fairs and Festivals, the Wisconsin Valley Fair at Marathon Park in Wausau begins today. The Wausau Breakfast Optimist Club expects to sell some 3,000 pounds of deep-fried cheese curds with a secret ingredient, Roger writes, stale beer. Okay. Let's see. We've also got Alicia putting up on YouTube, the struggle is real. Trying to keep any elected official accountable just seems like an insurmountable task, but it can happen and we can't give up. So obviously she's reacting to what Representative Angela Stroud is going to be talking about in a few minutes here. I also wanted to share the question of the week. It's in our Sunday morning newsletter, and you can sign up for that at upnorthnewswi.com. Sunday Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, our very imaginative name for the newsletter version of the Mornings with Pat Kreitlow radio show. And you'll recall that last week we talked to a couple of state legislators about cryptocurrency, and we just want to know, where are you on cryptocurrency these days? Do you feel like it is the way of the future? That you may as well get used to it, learn about it. Doesn't mean you have to invest in it or anything, but at least, be used to the fact that cryptocurrency is always going to be a thing. Or is it just a fad? And goodness knows, there have been things that we thought was the next big thing, and then you don't hear about it anymore. Or is it just an out-and-out scam? Or is it all too soon to tell? So we give you a couple of different options on there that you're good with it, you're a maybe, you're not sure at all, or you just don't like it. And we are getting a lot of great answers to that, and we would love to hear your thoughts on it as well. So by all means, become a subscriber to our Sunday morning newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com, he said clearly, and click subscribe up there in the top banner. Parker, Aaron Rodgers is still being mum. I know. Like, do we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers? Yeah, because, again, he's just unusual. He talks a bit more about marriage at Pittsburgh Steelers training camp, but his wife remains a mystery. So he was speaking about how much he's got the most incredible wife. I just really love her. I'm thankful to have her by my side, Rodgers told a host on NFL Network. When you meet the right one and you're with the right one, your whole world changes in a second. To have that person that unconditionally loves you behind the scenes, there's no better feeling in the world. Unless, of course, you don't want to share who she is. Because, I don't know, is she like, maybe it's just a hamster. Maybe he's just got a different pet, and he loves talking about.
If it comes out that Aaron Rodgers is married to Hammy Hamilton,
I'm just not even convinced he's married at this point, because it's tough to take seriously anything that he says. But yeah, there's an update. Spelled Brittany with an I, but that's really all we know about it at this point. The interesting comments from candidate for governor Bill Berrien coming up after the Midwest Farm Report here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Air on Air with Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach follows us from 9 to 11 weekday mornings here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and scheduled as a guest today at 10:05, Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin Secretary of State, who has recently been indicating that she will not be joining the race for governor but is exploring a potential run for lieutenant governor. And one of the candidates who is running for governor, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, will be on this program Friday morning in our 8 a.m. hour. So stick around Friday at 8 a.m. to hear Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez talking about being the first Democrat in the race to succeed Governor Tony Evers, why she's running, and the reasons that propelled her to run for office in the first place. She'd been an emergency nurse. She'd been a healthcare executive. She'd worked for the Centers for Disease Control. She'd been a member of the Peace Corps serving in Samoa, and now wants to be Wisconsin governor. So we'll look forward to that visit with her on Friday morning. There is another candidate for governor that we want to talk about here. We're going to play a little audio for you. Yesterday, we talked about Republican gubernatorial candidate Josh Shulman, the Washington County executive, and his troubling comments about wondering out loud if we even need a Wisconsin Elections Commission or a Government Accountability Board or anything like that to oversee elections in Wisconsin. Now we've got Bill Berrien, who talked to a Madison reporter from WMTV, NBC 15 in Madison, one-on-one about the reasons that he wants to be governor. This is about a two-and-a-half-minute clip that we're going to play from WMTV, and then talk about it on the other side, but I want you to really listen to his answers. And again, the thinking out loud that's going on here, and whether having a chief executive officer in the governor's chair, it may sound like a good thing, but chief executive of a company is not the same as chief executive of a state. And would anybody move right to the chief executive officer's post if they didn't have some experience with the product that was actually being made, in this case, policy and the law? Give a listen to Bill Berrien from WMTV.
How did you decide you wanted to run for governor?
I spent 9 years in the Navy SEAL teams. They taught us to fight. They taught us to lead. I've been running a manufacturing company for 13 years. I have a vision of making this, the Wisconsin century, starting this decade.
This month, the Wisconsin Supreme Court overruled the 1849 abortion ban, meaning you can get an abortion up to about 20 weeks of pregnancy here. Would you want a stricter rule?
So I am, my philosophy is I'm pro-life. We should not have anything late term, and I support the exceptions.
So what weeks?
Nope, I mean, just, so that is how I sort of look at the issue.
What would you consider late term?
I mean, late term is, in the, last trimester.
Are you seeking an endorsement from President Donald Trump?
I will in the future.
Are there any Trump policies that you don't like?
That affect Wisconsinites, I can't think of any.
Gotta bring up the Fox Business interview you did a few years back. You said you didn't like President Trump's COVID leadership, anti-science approach, and that you would lead differently. Do you still stand by these statements?
As we sort of put a date on that interview, August 2020, I was a business leader of an essential business. That month was sort of record COVID. It was a very challenging period. And I give President Trump a lot of credit for Operation Warp Speed.
So let's talk about the tariffs. You've Yes. talked about bringing that tariff plan state level. Tangibly, what does that look like? Are you putting a tariff on corn imported from Iowa?
It would look, the benefit to Wisconsin would be, businesses investing here to make product here. But also something I think I would bring to the governor's office is a chief marketing officer type of hat. So how do we sell Wisconsin to other states, to federal government and overseas?
So there it is. That's Bill Berrien, Republican candidate for governor, CEO of a manufacturing firm in New Berlin, talking to Vanessa Keltzen from WMTV, NBC 15 in Madison. And I have to say, it was rather troubling to me on a couple of different levels. First off, somebody who has not shied away in the past from criticizing President Donald Trump, until he recognized that he wanted to run for governor and would need Trump's support. But this is somebody who at one point was supporting Nikki Haley in the primary and who was critical of Trump for some of his COVID moves. But now it's Trump's party. It's whatever Trump wants. I'm going to go look for that endorsement and I'm going to get it. But perhaps more troubling, and I saw this in a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article as well, was this. I just need to know more about what he said about tariffs. Berrien said he supports Trump's tariff policies and posture toward China, saying he wants to replicate such policies at the state level. What does he mean by he wants to replicate Trump's tariff policies at the state level? Does that mean a state tariff on Chinese goods? Or like Vanessa Kelton was saying in that interview, are you saying that you want a tariff on non-Wisconsin products? Like if a washing machine comes our way from Iowa or whatever, that you would have a tariff at Wisconsin's borders? As Tony notes on YouTube, he seems unsure of how to answer the questions. People talk about authenticity being important, and this was the opposite. Well, I think it was authentic in the sense that there was authenticity in what he didn't know. And there's nothing wrong with not knowing things unless you're running for governor. And then it's pretty important that you have a handle on what it is you want state law to say. So I will say again, government is not a business, not better. Not worse, just a different beast. Maybe they're not apples and oranges, but they're not the same kind of apple. And you don't translate one set of skills to the other. We have seen more than a few people fail at that, and we have had to live with the results. And this is why, and I have seen this in more elections than I can count, people who were running for, say, a seat in the state legislature or for Congress. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe you want to first try running for school board or serving on your town board or your city council. That's not the same way for everybody. There are people who are immediately capable of filling a role. Maybe it's governor, maybe it is state legislator or member of Congress, but others could use a little practice. And the skills from your job at your factory don't necessarily carry over. Jim from Brookfield on the text line: after listening to Bill Berrien's comments, I think it's clear he's not ready to be governor. He stumbled around with his answers and never answered one question directly. Right. I mean, that was definitely the impression that I got as well, the lack of any daylight. And then when asked about reproductive rights, again, we hear this all the time from Republican candidates saying they're quote-unquote pro-life, but they don't want to be pinned down. Now, again, some Republicans are happy to be pinned down. They want a 6-week ban. They want a total ban. They want a 12-week ban, whatever the case may be. Instead, when she said, so how many weeks, his answer was, quote, nope. Just know that that is how I sort of look at the issue. Again, he said, my philosophy is I am pro-life. We should not have anything late term, but I support the exceptions. So Vanessa says, so what weeks? And his answer is nope. Just know that that is how I sort of look at the issue. And then is asked to, you know, can you be a little bit more specific? And he says, well, late term is the last trimester. Okay. I'm not seeing between the Trump material and everything else that there's leadership there. And look, if you are a CEO like him, if you are a Navy SEAL like he was, you have leadership qualities. That is not to take anything away from what you have, but it doesn't mean it translates. Derek Van Orden is a member of Congress. He's a former Navy SEAL. He could not manage a ham sandwich. He's that bad at this job. He served our country. I'm grateful for that. Good for him. He knows how to do all kinds of things that I could never do in, you know, on a battlefield. But he gets circles run around him 8 ways to Sunday when it comes to representing his constituents because he has no experience in government, whether in whatever level, as a staffer, as a previous candidate, as an observer. We have a mentality now that, you know, if you are just either angry enough, or if you are a celebrity, or if you are rich enough, that you can say some things, push some people's buttons, get into office, and then immediately fall on your face. And I'm not sure that Wisconsin governor is the place where we necessarily want that to happen. Now, John in Oshkosh writes on the text line, I don't know, his style seemed consistent with the right, tiptoe on the issues, answer vaguely, and not dare to disagree with dear leader. Well, yeah, he does check all the boxes that way. And again, for both Bill Berrien and for Josh Shulman, who have taken their military service, for which we are grateful, but to then say that this translates into political managerial capabilities, if we've learned anything by now, that ain't necessarily so. And we end up with people like what we have in office right now, and there are so many examples of where we could go with just Donald Trump alone, but I'm going to leave you with this one. From The Hill, newspaper out in Capitol Hill, Washington, D.C. Trump memo allows federal workers to persuade co-workers that their religion is correct. I wish I was kidding. The Trump administration released a memo Monday that aims to protect religious expression among federal workers. Always the protecting religious expression for people whose religion you agree with. Outlining that employees can attempt to persuade coworkers about why their religious beliefs are, quote, correct. What could possibly go wrong? The memo outlined conduct that should not result in disciplinary or corrective action, including displaying Bibles in the office, religious artwork, jewelry, posters displaying religious messages, and other indicators of religion, like crosses and crucifixes. The memo said one or more employees should be allowed to engage in individual or communal religious expressions, and that employees can engage in conversations on religious topics, including to attempt to persuade others of the correctness of their own religious views, provided that such efforts are not harassing in nature. These are the same people that are making others take down rainbow flags and making people take down signs that say, "All are welcome here." But by all means, bring your Bible and try to convert your friend on the job at a federal office paid for by taxpayers. Again, Donald Trump is the CEO. That does not necessarily, I'd love to see him pull this off at the Trump Organization. Let's get out of here. The history lesson is next. You're up north.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. Today's history lesson and some musical memories for this Tuesday, July 29th. And this day in 1978, number one on the album chart was the soundtrack from the movie Grease. John Travolta, Olivia Newton-John there. So I have to ask, for somebody who's 22 years old, what is your exposure to Grease? Is it like a cultural touchstone, or is it something you didn't hear of until about 45 seconds ago?
So I know of Grease. I am very admittedly ashamed to say that I have not seen Grease.
Oh, I wouldn't be ashamed. But you know of it.
I know of it, yes. I am ashamed because I was a theater kid in high school.
Oh, yeah, yes, okay. There is that.
Yes.
Yes, okay. Anyway, it was a Broadway play turned into a blockbuster movie, and then the soundtrack, of course, took off like a rocket and is still a classic to this day, and it was number one 47 years ago this week. On this day in 1981, this was a big deal. Again, this is way pre-internet. On this day in 1981, a worldwide television audience of 750 million people watched the wedding of Prince Charles to later Princess Diana, at the time Lady Diana Spencer, at St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Again, this was huge. You had this dashing prince, who I know some of you are skeptical, but he was a dashing prince at one time.
Thanks.
The world's most eligible bachelor, he used to be called back in the 70s. And he was settling down with this lovely young lady. And it didn't end great, unfortunately, for the marriage. But the wedding itself was a huge deal this day in 1981. The number one song this week in 1967 was by The Doors. You know that I would be a liar. The Doors' Light My Fire would be in number one for 3 weeks, starting this week in 1967. On this day in 1957, The Tonight Show, starring Jack Parr, premiered on NBC, beginning the modern-day late-night talk show. Back then, it wasn't called The Tonight Show. It was simply called Tonight, starring Jack Parr. Now, the Today Show was simply called Today. Now they're so ubiquitous, they are the Today Show and the Tonight Show, and the whole thing got started here 68 years ago today. On this day in 1974, Cass Elliot of the Mamas and the Papas died at the age of 32. I don't normally dwell on anniversaries of deaths, but there's been this mythology about her that I'd like to dispel. Just somebody's got to stop some of the rumors that were started by her own manager, who, even though her death was a heart attack and no drugs were found in her system, she had basically worked herself to death. She was on a solo tour in London. But the manager wanted to protect her legacy and planted a story that the large star choked on a ham sandwich, a narrative that persisted for decades. Here,
what?
Mama Cass was a very large woman, and they thought it would be easier to essentially make a fat joke that she died, you know, choking on food, rather than admit that she'd been taking drugs. Because again, this is 1974. Now we hear music stars on drugs, we go, oh, another day. No. But they wanted to protect her image. But she was non-drug. She died of a heart attack. Weird, dark coincidence. Cass Elliot died in the London apartment owned by singer-songwriter Harry Nilsson. And 4 years later, Keith Moon, drummer for The Who, died in the same bedroom, also at the age of 32. Yeah.
Don't give me that room.
Here come some birthdays for you. Country singer Martina McBride is 59 years old today.
Wild angels, watching over you and me.
Really loved her big early string of hits in the 90s. Wanya Morris from Boys to Men is 52 years old today. Geddy Lee is 72 today, as is Patti Schialfa. Bruce Springsteen's spouse, both 72 years old today. On this day in 1984, Prince became the first person ever to have a number one song and star in the number one movie at the same time. This, of course, was because of Purple Rain. And When Doves Cry stayed perched atop the Hot 100 for its fourth consecutive week, this week in 1984. And finally, one more melancholy note on this day in 2015, so 10 years ago today, the Eagles played their last concert with Glenn Frey. The show would take place in Louisiana on the final date of their History of the Eagles tour. The set featured 27 songs, two encores, closing with Desperado. Founding member Glenn Frey would pass away 6 months later. Today is International Tiger Day. Today is National Lipstick Day. And don't ask me why. This has been Lasagna Awareness Month for the entire month. So you'd think that the 31st would be National Lasagna Day. But no, it's today.
Pat, I saw this in the show notes and went, what are we doing? This has got to be something by Big Lasagna. It's a setup. This cannot be right. I don't understand. There's no coordination whatsoever.
No, I think the lasagna people, they really need to get a grip on their marketing here. Yes. On the text line from Lori in Hayward, I also found the article about Hammy Hamilton to be a bit deceptive. He should have been named Jack the Nipper. Oh, Lori. I see what you did there. And again, if you missed the story at the top of the hour, you really got to subscribe to the show as a podcast and find out why we're having fun with hamsters who are trained killers. So much more ahead, including Hans Breitenmoser and Sheila Everhart from the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour of our mornings powered by Up North News here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.